Okay, would you turn New Testament, book of Jude, and verse 5 of Jude. The reason I say that, it's only got one chapter. Jude, verse 5, and then Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And I apologize, I look like a totally unprofessional barbarian up here, but I usually have cups up here, but they're missing. So I'm going to have to drink from the bottle, so forgive me for doing that. But my glasses are, the voice of the Lord has spoken. But the my cups are gone. So I will bring more next week, and I'll look professional again for you. Jude writes in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance that you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them for not believing. And then Joshua chapter 4, and it came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take 12 men out of the people, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, stand in the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Take 12 stones, and carry them with you, and leave them in the lodging place wherever you will lodge that night. We're not talking about just little pebbles that you might skim across the water. We're talking about giant rocks that they would have to carry, okay? And Joshua called the 12, whom he had prepared out of the children of Israel, out of every tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and take up with you every one a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this will be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you will answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let's pray. Father God, thanks so much for your holy and timeless word. And now, Lord, I just pray that you'll hide me behind the cross, and Father God, just move me out of the way, so that what we hear will be your Holy Spirit giving us a word that we need for this moment. So we just humbly ask that you'll be with us now in these few moments, that we might indeed rightly divide your word of truth. For the sake of Christ, we pray. Amen. Any of you know of anything significant that happened in April of 1863? April 1863, Columbus, Mississippi. Does that help? There were some women who went to a cemetery. And one woman walked over to two graves, and she knelt and she placed flowers there. Two of her boys from the South had been killed in the Civil War. This mother then got up and walked to the other end of the cemetery where two mounds of dirt, two graves were. And as she started to reenact what she had done previously at her son's grave, somebody that was with her hollered and said, no! What are you doing? Those are the graves of two Union soldiers. The mother replied, I know. And I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourns for them as we do ours. Many historians will tell you that they were actually the seeds which grew into what we call Memorial Day, which was established in 1868 to remember the soldiers from the Civil War But it's grown over the years into a holiday, a holy day, where we remember those who paid the ultimate price so that you and I can enjoy our freedoms as a country. But despite the TV ads, despite the fact that sometimes it's not until 10 or after the, or 11 minutes after the hour before the news media finally tells you a story where veterans are being honored, and all the consumerism and all the unofficial start of summer, let me be very candid. Our freedom was not cheap. There was a great price that was paid, even for you and I to be able to be sitting in here this morning. I know a lot of people don't appreciate when I speak like I'm going to speak, but that title, The Unofficial Start of Summer, just drives me over the edge. It really frustrates me. While indeed all of those soldiers who were no longer with us fought so that we can have our freedom and do what we want on this day, yet do we honor their memory by trying to get the summer money-making season off to a good start? Forgive me, I'm sure I'm the only one in the country that's conflicted by that. I get very conflicted by that. Because you see, as history continues to be rewritten today, as the Bible continues to be rewritten, as the Bible continues to be reinterpreted incorrectly, we're starting to forget. We're starting to forget. Hence the warning from Jude. Remember! I need to call to remembrance again what God has done for you. Look what happened when your ancestors forgot Him. Memorials help us to keep people and events alive and real for us. It helps us not to live in the past, but to be able to revisit for a short time to gain a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation so that we can live solidly in the present and continue to march into the future with the same values that we had when those men and women put their lives on the line. Proverbs tells us the memory of the righteous is a blessing. I don't believe anyone can say that, as the song says, God certainly has shed His grace on us as a nation. When you think of how Washington was almost defeated on Long Island and suddenly a mysterious fog came in out of nowhere to let him get away, when you look at all the weather conditions around D-Day, when you look throughout history and you see how mysterious things have given this great country so many victories, you have to conclude it's because we were faithful to God and God honored our faithfulness. And I'm one pastor who, without apology, thinks it's time that we need to reclaim that. We need to reclaim that. God has shed His grace on us. That should propel us to continue to be faithful so that God will continue to shed His grace on us. The most intriguing memorial, I think, in the Old Testament is the one from Joshua 4. God made a promise hundreds and hundreds of years before that He was going to give His people the promised land. Now you know what happened. They wound up 400 and some years in Egypt as slaves. They were freed by Moses. Moses didn't have the latest GPS, so they wandered for 40 some years 40 years, some say 45. They wandered for a long time, and now the time came for them to finally enter the promised land. God tells Joshua, I want you to take one representative from all the 12 tribes. And I want you to send them out before the Ark of the Covenant. And then he tells them something very, very strange. I want you off the floor of the river, I want you to get these big rocks. And then wherever you're staying and camping that night, I want you to put them there. And then when you do that, God again used perhaps the weather. Who knows what God used to allow His people, like the Red Sea, to walk across on dry land, the Bible tells us. And then Joshua tells the men, those stones are going to become memorials. Listen, so that when your children ask you questions, you will be able to answer them. I had the privilege, when both my girls were, our girls, were in sixth grade, of going down to Washington, D.C. with both of them. What a great place that is. You talk about memorials and... But we visited Lincoln, Washington. And the one thing that my girls, when we were there, probably to their boredom, I was able to explain the Washington Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, and all of the military memorials and all that are down there. And what an impressive sight that is, as you all know. Very humbling. And this man who used to get up during his presidency at 4 a.m. and spend the first hour on his knees in prayer before God. And there he is, immortalized. And there was this one woman who was just aggravated, I guess, because of the weather. And her little daughter was saying, Mommy, who's that guy? Who's that guy? I hope schools still teach about our presidents, but anyway, who's that guy? And she said, I don't know, he's just some famous president, and takes her hand and goes. When your children ask, tell them. Now, let's flip it on the other side. What about when it comes to matters of faith? PUMC has an amazing history. You guys know, I'm just starting to scratch the surface of what God has done in your midst. Are we doing our best to communicate that to the kids, to young people? Do we walk around the church and do we look at memorial plaques? In fact, maybe we ought to just take a Sunday. And we'll just look at all the memorials and plaques in the church. And we'll explain the contributions that those men and women gave so that we could enjoy all this today. And then we'll go into the parking lot and have a barbecue afterward. As a way of remembering. So our kids don't forget. That same stained glass sits in our home church, the church that kicked me or sent me out into ministry. The same stained glass, but it was put there in the name of Jacob Dobbins, who was the founder of the church. And one of the first things we did was to, as kids, let's have our Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and all that take us around and tell us what contributions those folks made. I took the confirmation class, all 15 of us and a few adults, to St. George's last week so that we could touch our past, so that we could see what God has done for us as Christians in general, but as Methodists in particular. Yes, we revisited some of the not so pleasant scenes about our history. But that only makes us stronger so we won't repeat in the future. But you see, as things continue to be rewritten today, as history keeps being dropped from scholastic courses, our kids don't know. And the same thing is true in the church. If you and I are not the ones teaching the young people, what are they going to believe when they're our age? And what kind of church are we going to hand off to them? Well, you thought we were just going to wave the flag and sing Yankee Doodle Dandy and go home, didn't you? This is what Joshua was saying. And he's only repeating what God told him to say. When your children ask, you will tell them. Moses said the same thing in Deuteronomy 6. Moses said, when it comes to the Word of God, you will teach them to your children when you get up, when you sit down to eat, when you lie down at night. Are we passing that along? Are we creating the memorial? Joshua instructs the people, tell them how God was with us in Egypt. Tell them how God was with us even when we were cranky in the wilderness. Tell them how God brought us along through dry land. Tell us how God has always kept His promise. Tell the kids how although the world says there is no God, there is a God and He's faithful and you can trust Him. Reminded me of a story of a group of Christians that were meeting in a very small church during a hurricane in South Carolina. Yeah, only in the South. Only in the South you have a prayer meeting in the middle of a hurricane. And they were there, and this the older pastor, older than me, he suddenly says, we're going to pray. And so, you know, we preachers, we have to impress God. We have to really overwhelm God. So this preacher starts out, he goes, most omnipotent, gracious, heavenly Father, send us thy Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the children of Moses. Send us the Spirit of the children of Israel. Send us the Spirit of the children of the Promised Land. Just then there was a big crash of wind and thunder, and the pastor stopped in his tracks. Almost immediately on cue, an older member of the congregation, a woman, begins to pray loudly, Lord, don't you dare send nobody. You come down here yourself. This ain't no time for kids. Ah, you'll get it later. You know, the memorials are set up as reminders of what God has done in our midst. Of what God has done. Even through our veterans, God has done a great work through them. But yet Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 12 says, beware unless you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. Deuteronomy 6, 13 and 14, you will fear the Lord your God. That means love or respect. The Lord your God, and you will serve Him. You will not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. Listen, you say, oh, Jim, I would never worship an idol. I would never worship a false god. Listen, the biblical truth is this. Anything that comes before God is an idol. End of story. Anything. That even includes self. As Dr. Stanley's fond of saying, whenever we take God off the throne and put big I on the throne, we're committing idolatry. God says, don't. Just keep following me and keep telling your children and keep telling them and keep telling them. I like, there was a great Persian king of the past. He was elevated from a poverty-stricken home to a great royal throne. After he became a king, he told his servants to do something a little unusual. He said, I want you to go back to the old shack that I was raised in, and I want you to gather every relic that's left in that house. So the servants brought back fragments of his home, many broken toys, a patched shirt, a crude wooden bowl from which he used to eat his meals, and numerous other worthless mementos of his childhood. He arranged them all in a special room, and he would go in there every day for 1 hour, just sitting there, remembering of his humble past. And on the wall, he had a prayer which said 3 words, "Lest I forget." Lest I forget. We must never, ever, ever forget. Do we really take the time to explain to our children what really happened at the Revolutionary War? What really happened during the Civil War? What really happened at all the great wars of this country? Do we take the time to sit with our kids and explain to them about the matters of faith? Sometimes God's people, I fear, run the risk of being like those who stand right over here and make promises while the pastor dumps a little bit of water on their head and they think their kids on a magic carpet ride to heaven. That's not it at all. Promises that are made by the parents that they will raise the child until he or she then reaches the age, i.e. confirmation, and receives Christ for themselves. The church makes promises. We're going to do our part. Or do we, just like too many, say, "You know what? I don't want to cause any trouble. They're individuals. I'm going to back off, and I'm just going to let them grow, and they can decide for themselves." Really? British poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge, I'm getting a little excited here, once had a discussion with a man who firmly believed that children should not be given any formal religious instruction, but every child should be free to choose their own religious faith when they reached maturity. Coleridge did not disagree with the man, but instead he invited him over to his home. And he said, "Come on, I'd like you to come see my garden." The man walked out and he says, "You call this a garden? Look at it. Everything's overgrown. There's weeds all over the place. This isn't a garden. There isn't anything worthy of calling a garden out here." Coleridge replied, "Well, you see, I didn't wish to infringe upon the liberty of this garden in any way. I was giving the garden a chance to simply express itself." Isn't that what happens with kids? They search the internet and they believe everything they're reading is gospel truth. Give me the good old days when moms and dads and grandparents would sit down with the kids and have a good chat. The men and women that wore and wear the uniform are, whether they're thinking it consciously or not, they are fulfilling the words of Jesus Christ, "No one has greater love than to lay down your life for your friends." And I would dare say, as I said to the pals, I would include police officers and firefighters, and that goes every time they go out, you don't know if they're coming home. Susanna Wesley was the mother of 19 kids. God bless her. Regrettably, 8 of them died while they were infants due to disease and other things. Yet Susanna was very faithful in teaching her children the ways of the Lord. Every morning, every afternoon, every evening. 2 of her children grew up, you might know them by name, John Wesley and Charles Wesley. Charles wrote over 8,000 hymns, many of which we still love and sing today. John became the founder of Methodism. All of her kids were faithful Christians, all because Mom took the time to be with them. Do you have memorials that you set up? For example, has God ever healed you physically? Build a memorial. Has God ever delivered you from alcohol or drug abuse? Build a memorial. Is there a time when God infused you with His Holy Spirit and allowed you to be part of something great? Build a memorial. Has God ever taken you out of the deep, miry clay and set your feet upon a rock? Build a memorial. Has God ever blessed you? Build a memorial. You see, we're walking memorials. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says that we are living stones, the same word used by Joshua in the Old Testament there. We're living monuments to Jesus Christ. Do we reflect that in the way we live our lives? Are we living examples of Jesus Christ? I also would suggest to you that the greatest memorial we have is sitting right back here on the wall, the cross of Jesus Christ. And it goes to show that even the privilege that we have to come to a great place like this and worship Him freely was very expensive. There was a great price paid for you and I to be able to enjoy freedom and spiritual growth in Christ. Memorial Day always reminds me, and yeah, I'll eat a hot dog this weekend. Or two. But I'll also be giving thanks and remembering my father-in-law who was down there with the Bay of Pigs. My uncle who fought in Vietnam and still won't talk about it. My dad, who was drafted, although he didn't have to go to Korea, he stayed here. My grandfather, who did go to Germany. And many others that I have come in contact with over the years. And I'll give thanks. I'll give thanks that a lot of them came back. But I'll also give thanks, and I will also, like many of you, say a prayer for those who only have a headstone to go and visit. Because they paid it all for you and I. You know, on a park bench one day, there was an old man sitting, and a young fellow came up to him. He says, "Boy, your old flagpole there, it's leaning a little bit. And golly gee, look at that old ragged flag you've got flying on it." Man says, "Well, you know, I don't like to brag, but kind of proud of that old ragged flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night Francis Scott Key sat watching it writing, 'Oh, say can you see?' It got a tear in it in New Orleans with Packingham and Jackson tugging at its seams. That old flag got cut with a sword in Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was old Robert E. Lee and Bogart and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that old rugged flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a big gun. She turned blood red as she flew in World War II. She also hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea and Vietnam. You know what? She was there and went everywhere her dear old uncle sent her. So, yeah, we raise her up every morning, and we bring her down slow every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up tight." You know what, young fellow, on second thought, I do like to brag, because I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag. The cross reminds us of Jesus. The flag reminds us of the God who works through men and women who gave us what we have today. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks and praise. Thank You for memorials that are all around us. And we pray, Lord, that we would never, ever take them for granted. But Father, that you would use times such as this and memorials of all kinds to serve as reminders that we'd be a grateful people, that we'd be a humble people, that we'd be a people, Lord, who are grateful to you and grateful for those who answer the call. May we do our part to be able to liberate people from sin, bondage, injustice, in whatever form it presents itself. May we be your liberators for this next generation. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.